Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Couple Speak Relationship Forum on Blog Talk Radio. This program focuses on all kinds of relationship issues, bringing you guest experts who provide inside information and vital tools to help you do better with your partner, your spouse, friends, family, and with yourself. I'm your host, Susan Lager, a psychotherapist at the Couple Center in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, where I broadcast live each month on Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Tonight's 30-minute episode, Digital Infidelity, Is Your Spouse Just Texting or Cheating?, is a very, very timely show, given the probability that your husband or wife is texting someone else right now as I speak. Is it just a friend, a coworker, and why so late at night? In this episode, I'll be discussing the issues around such a loaded subject for our times and giving listeners a test to see how you're doing in this department. I'll share some tips to better manage communication via text, email, or voicemail so you and your spouse don't create unnecessary problems around these separate exchanges. In addition, I'll give listeners ideas for how to use digital communication within your marriage to beef it up. One housekeeping note. If you're live on the call and want to ask a question or make a comment, just dial 1 on your phone and you'll be in line to come on the air. And what I like to do is take calls as they come in, so don't be shy about asking a question. Now, here's a little upfront test to see if you or your spouse have been going over a line between texting or cheating. I'll be assuming either one of you may be the subject of the test, and either one of you could be the culprit here. So I'll use he or she, husband or wife, interchangeably. Now, would you say, number one, would you say your husband has been online or on his phone with some frequency, communicating with someone else and not with you, when you're nearby and he could be engaging with you? If so, this is a distancing move, and I'll talk more about that later. Number two, have you or your husband ever conducted an outside relationship via text that you've kept private or secret, even if there was no physical, quote, cheating? So if you said yes to this, then you're engaging or your spouse is engaging in self-deception around boundary violations, and boundary violations are can cumulatively be very toxic for marriages. What's okay and what's not okay, what agreements are okay or not okay. Number three, have you or your wife ever shared personal exchanges through texts that the spouse may not have known about or may not have wanted to be shared with someone who clearly wasn't just a friend? In other words, have you been sharing intimacies and private things that are private? If so, it's a violation of agreements you have about privacy. That goes over a line, okay? That's considered one form of cheating, and I will encourage you to recognize that cheating is not just about sleeping with somebody. Okay, number four in our test, have you or your husband been in the habit of deleting texts and not just to clear up space on your phone? If so, if your husband's doing it, he's being secretive. And secrecy, we know secrecy in marriages is absolutely toxic. And I'm not talking here about secrecy, a secret surprise or something nice, but secrecy about what you're doing. Number five. Have you or your wife, either you or your wife, engaged in a seemingly innocent text relationship that you felt you could not stop? All right? This addresses the addictive quality of texting, that sometimes it can become a compulsion, sometimes that you feel like you're not in control of. Number six, have either of you ever lied or exaggerated about yourself in texts to seem more appealing to the person you were texting with? This is a very common thing that happens. People misrepresent themselves. They create whoever they want. If you answered yes to this, then you're using fantasy to create a kind of magical relationship with the other person. And it's part of this whole scene that's problematic. So if you've said yes to any of these questions, you or your spouse may be guilty of using or having used texting to create distance, self-deception, the violation of agreements, or secrecy. So now's a good time to take a second look at this behavior, because any of these things, any and all of these things are problematic in a marriage or any long-term committed relationship. The digital world of texts, emails, social media sites, etc., has become, it's an essential part of all of our lives. It's just a current reality. And these are great tools for communication and staying in touch. Nobody will dispute that. We all know that our kids stay in touch with friends through Facebook and text. It's more expedient. It's more immediate. So it has a very positive function. The problem, though, is that the digital world, and I'm going to be focusing on texting here, can become an insidiously increasing source of disconnection in marriage. Now, if you answered yes to question one about your husband's frequent texting to someone else instead of engaging with you, your husband may not be cheating, but he may be distancing, unless you both agreed to be communicating with someone else at the same time. So if it's unilateral, one person just decides to break stride and just do it. And people do it all over the place. They may do it in restaurants. They may do it when they're supposedly spending an evening together. But when it's unilateral, it's a distancing move. And what we therapists know is that growing distance in marriages can set the stage for infidelity. Distance is on a kind of continuum, distance to disconnection. More and more distance can lead to more alienation in marriage. Not a good thing. It's replacing the ho-hum reality of everyday life with a spouse for the excitement, the ease, and the fantasy of someone on your phone. And who can compete with that? You know, some person you have a kind of magical relationship with. If you've answered yes to question two about being secretive regarding a text relationship and maybe rationalizing it because there's no physical contact with that person, either of you may be deluding yourselves about going over a line of trust. So ask yourself, is it cheating only when you're having sex with an outsider? You might want to think about that one. There are all forms of cheating in relationships, breaking agreements. Now, number three, if you answered yes to question three about sharing intimacies with an outsider, you or your wife may be, quote, cheating by violating agreements, either spoken upfront or tacit agreements about privacy that you've reserved for your marriage. And I would say, ideally, there's a sacred zone of privacy for just us. And when either of you start getting sloppy about what you're sharing with an outsider, you may be opening that boundary, allowing an outsider to enter. So you're really violating that sacred zone of privacy. If you define your husband's sharing private things with an outsider as violating intimacy, would you say that's cheating? Or does he have to only be having sex with somebody? So hopefully by now you're getting the idea that cheating involves boundary violations, broken agreements, etc., secrecy. It's not just about sex. Number four on the test. If you answered yes to question four where either of you has been deleting texts to hide them, not just to open up space on your phone, then you're being sneaky and secretive. You're also creating an uneven playing field in your marriage. You're the only one who knows the full story about what's going on, and your spouse is operating in good faith through ignorance about the current reality. What you're doing is creating a dysfunctional power dynamic by doing this, because you're the only one who knows the full story. You may also be selling the secrecy to yourself. I think of it as selling it to yourself. Oh, I'm sparing my spouse grief. What they don't know won't hurt them. So you may be rationalizing it with a story about protecting the other, or what they don't know won't hurt them. And what I'm inviting you to ask yourself is, who are you really protecting? Get real with yourself about that. Number five, if you answered yes to number five, that either of you had a text relationship that you couldn't stop, however innocent it seemed, then one of you have fallen prey to the addictive quality of texting. And why that happens, I'll explain by going into question six. We know that a lot of the digital world can be highly, highly addictive, very habit-forming, to say the least. And one of the things they know about 13-year-olds, for instance, and this is not about, may not be about cheating, but the addictive quality of texting. There was a study done, I think it was fairly recently, where parents issued a consequence taking phones away from their 13-year-olds. And 13 is pretty young to develop an addiction. And, 13-year-olds are known for all the communication is via text. They don't even do email anymore. Instagram and text, Snapchat, et cetera, but a lot of texting. So they took phones away from the 13-year-olds, and the 13-year-olds en masse showed all the signs of major depression. There were major meltdowns, and it was a lot of the same signs of withdrawal from drugs. So they know that it can become an actual addiction. It really it happens in your brain, and where you feel like you cannot do without it. So that's something for you to be really aware of. And all the time I see people who they're just doing it mindlessly. They're not aware that they're doing this, and I know that they can't stop. Now, there are a few callers on the line. If any of you have a question, this might be, I have one more test question to go over, and then I'll go over some other things. But again, if you have a question, just dial one. I'll be happy to take your question. Not yet? Okay. Number six. If you answered yes to number six, where either of you have exaggerated or lied about yourself to a text partner, then you've gotten hooked on the fantasy central to texting. And I'm not saying all texting involves fantasy. It might be a text about, I'll see you at the supermarket, or this or that. But I'm talking about this kind of compulsive texting and this kind of secretive texting. But if you've exaggerated or lied about yourself, you have gotten into a fantasy. You can be anything you want to be, and you can misrepresent who, what, or where you are, and project onto your text partner any qualities you want in them. So it goes both ways. You can misrepresent yourself, you can lie about yourself, and you can also create a fantasy of the person that you're with. No real life spouse can compete with the magical qualities you can project onto a digital partner. And experts know that the addiction people develop to their phones, and as I said, text partners, is very real and akin to the addiction to drugs. And what I'm saying is that part of the addiction is driven by your creating a larger than life relationship. No warts, no bad breath, no neurotic stuff at the center of it. You can be as grand or as beautiful or as thin or as rich or as interesting, as fascinating as you want to seem to be, as you want your partner to see you, and you can put that onto the other person in the absence of auditory or visual cues. So you're not seeing them and you're not hearing them, so you can make them whoever you want them to be. And that's something that no real-life partner, with all the disappointments and the disillusionments and just the ho-hum of everyday life, could ever compete with. One of the things we also know is that, in terms of the addiction, is that there are very powerful reinforcers, like the ping of getting or sending a text while you're playing a role. The medicating of disappointments or boredom in this way, and all the little things that go along with it can really reinforce it, very much like Pavlov's dog. Anything that we know animals have been conditioned into certain behaviors, it's a reinforcer, it's a conditioner, and it can condition you to be waiting for it, to be looking for it, etc. So now the next section of this program is what to do about this. Okay, so I've described a kind of self-test you can take to see if maybe your spouse may be cheating, maybe you're cheating. What can you do? And I think of four major things. Number one is create a firewall against this problem. And by that, I mean have conversations which lead to agreements with your spouse about text. And be clear about the who, the where, the when, the how, and the why of it. Define for yourselves what behaviors you would consider okay, fine, when we text, who we're texting to, in what way, what we're sharing, etc., versus what behaviors that you would consider as cheating. Don't just assume because you've married somebody that that's just... You're on the same page about that. What I would also recommend is when you create this agreement, write down the specifics of your, think of it as a contract, of this contract, and revise it from time to time, revisit it. Because, contracts are subject to amendments. People's lives change. Something happens that's different. People's needs change. But I would encourage you to write it down so you can reference it, so nobody can say, I never agreed to that. Write it down and then refer to it down the road. Number two, I would recommend that you examine areas where you've gotten lax or lazy in your marriage. So this is really looking at where might you have inadvertently set the stage for getting addicted to texting with somebody else. Where might there be too much work and not enough play or joy in your marriage? That's a prime candidate. You're weakening the bonds of the marriage by doing that. So might you be setting yourself up for this vulnerability with too much work and not enough play or joy? Is there too much predictability, boredom, and not enough spontaneity in your marriage? Look at, are you playful enough? Has life gotten so ho-hum that you just know everything that's coming down the pike? Or have you set the stage for sufficient mystery in your marriage? There's a very famous book. Esther Perel wrote the book Mating in Captivity, and that's all about eroticism. But what she talks about is how can you have an erotic relationship with someone where there isn't enough space? And what she means by that is not living on separate coasts, but where there isn't enough mystery, there isn't enough courting, there isn't enough spontaneity. So think of creating sufficient spontaneity and mystery and space as a good thing. I would encourage you to look at, is there too much togetherness? Because that can be the case. Is there too much or not enough we? You can find yourself on either end of that spectrum, and it can be very problematic. Are you together all the time in a way where it's become totally ho-hum, and where now you're like roommates? Or have you set up your life in a way where, and I see this more often in my work with couples, there's not enough we. Couples with young children especially aren't doing a very good job of preserving date nights, or if they cannot get out there, maybe they have children who are too young, or they don't yet have a babysitting infrastructure. Or have you set up your life so that you're not capitalizing on little opportunities to be together? And it might be just watching a movie or lighting a fire or walking the dog. So I would encourage you to look at where there's too much or not enough we-ness in your marriage. You'll be doing yourself a big favor and helping to avoid this problem, more likely helping to avoid this problem down the road. A third thing that you can do is to explore how you can use texting and the digital world for inclusion, sweet nothings, flirting, teasing, fantasy, mystery, and surprise in your marriage and build it in. I've worked with several couples who will send each other a very flirtatious text during the day, something reserved just for their partner. Or if they're in very separate worlds of work, they may just give each other a little, they may send each other a text about, oh, you won't believe what the boss did today. So they're creating a connection. They're not waiting until they're dead tired at the end of the night. I would encourage you to do that. And you can also use texts to say things that are kind of romantic or very affectionate. You're my only guy. You're my big guy. I love you. Oh, I can't wait to hold you when I get home. Something like that. Something really affectionate, especially if your spouse loves words of affirmation. You can use texts for fantasy inside the marriage. So you might send your spouse a text about, you have no idea what I'm going to do to you when I see you later tonight. Or, you could say something that involves some kind of mysterious, sort of forbidden kind of thing. Guess what I'm wearing? Or, something like that where you are encouraging between the two of you a fantasy or what do you think I'm doing right now? You won't believe it. Something like that where it's a little mysterious and, you might create a story around it that the two of you can share. So I would say think of yourself as using the digital world, using text inside the marriage for that. Now, a fourth thing, and this may be self-evident that you can do, is if you've experienced digital infidelity, cheating through texts or any kind of online digital stuff, don't wait. Don't think that there's an ideal point in time that maybe we'll just get over it, it'll blow over, maybe we can forget about it. It doesn't happen. It doesn't work that way. Avoiding the issue won't help, because what happens with all of these scenarios is that there are experiences of violation. There is damaged trust. There's hurt. There's experience of insult. There's anger. There's all kinds of difficult things that happen as a result of this. Avoiding it. It will not go away if you avoid it. So I would encourage you number one, to get hold of Janice Abrams Springs' new edition of After the Affair. She wrote a best-selling book about affairs, cheating, infidelity. And her latest edition deals very heavily with the digital world, that affairs aren't what we always used to think of them as. You know, as I've hopefully illustrated in this program, you could be having an affair without ever seeing the other person or even knowing the other person or ever having sex with the other person. So her name is Janice Abrams Spring, and I think her book could be very helpful. It kind of explains what it is and what it is. Now, we have a question. I'm going to take a question here. Hello, caller. You're live on the air.
Hi, Susan.
What's your question?
Oh, very interesting and timely topic. Thank you. I was just curious. I don't know if you have the answer to this through your practice or through, knowing any statistics, but I was curious if because of the technology and texting and how people abuse it and all the issues that come up because of it, if divorce has been on the rise at all, or if there have been more split-ups between couples because of it, or if there's not any
yes.
kind of... Okay.
Well, I don't know
yes.
the hard statistics about the direct correlation
yeah.
between divorce,
yeah.
but I do know that it's presenting itself as a problem more often coming into couple therapist's office. There's more that's written about it. There are more trainings around it. Infidelity and digital infidelity is definitely on the rise, definitely.
I'm not surprised. And
yeah.
I have part two to that. And this is not really related to what you're talking about, but do you know if there are also more issues when one wants to form a relationship because people don't know how to develop intimacy anymore because of texting is so easy?
Oh, it interferes with your ability to be close with the human partner right,
right.
in front of you.
I would think
so. And as I said, if the human partner with all their warts and bad breath and doldrums is right in front of you and you're comparing them to a fantasy partner online
right.
or via text, they cannot possibly compete. So,
correct.
Yes,
yeah.
it is a major impediment to real-life intimacy because it's all fantasy. It's play. It's a toxic play.
Right.
And nobody can compete with the idealized, fantasized partner that you're texting with. And
right.
it's kind of like
right.
siphoning gas out of a tank. If you're using all your energy and directing it to an outside partner that's not a real person that or is a real person but you're having a text relationship with them, you're not putting that needed energy into your marriage.
Right. That does make
so,
sense. Thank you, Susan. Really.
Yes. You're welcome. Thank you very
Thank
much
you
for
so
the
much.
Question. I mean, it's very timely questions.
Now,
I have
Thank
just a few minutes left. I have time for – I have one other person who has a question here. We're going to have to go over – hello, caller. You have a question? I have time for just a very brief question here.
Hi. Yes, I have a feeling that sometimes texting can be a reaching out for attention. And, you know, it's kind of like giving somebody a wink on the street that's really overt to your partner. And I wonder if you've ever thought about some way to address that either as the texter or the recipient of that.
Yes, and I think it's a good point. It's part of why people get so sloppy with texting. You mean you're getting attention from an outside partner, attention that they don't get from their spouse.
Partner.
Yeah, from an outside partner, but also getting attention from your spouse. I cannot tell you how often I've heard stories of people texting the text partner right in front of their spouse, and you know. They're kind of begging to get caught. It's a message. It's a way of saying, hello, I'm dying here. It's a dysfunctional way of drawing attention to a problem. But very often people, these digital affairs get revealed because the person who's texting is doing it right in front of the partner. So the answer is yes to both.
Okay.
Make sense?
Well, yeah.
Okay, thank you, caller. Pardon? Okay, good. I'm glad. Thank you. Yeah, pardon?
And how would you deal with that?
Oh, that's probably another. Well, if you, let's say you have a partner who you it's come to your attention that they're doing it and it feels like it may be a ploy for attention, the quick answer, and I've got to go, is that you want to stop and take a look at what's going on. What are you trying to tell me in a dysfunctional way? What's happening for you in our marriage that's either disappointing or feels violating or just feels really crummy that maybe I haven't been noticing or paying attention to or we haven't been addressing? See it as a symptom, and you can see it as a kind of call for help. It can be a call for help.
Thank
Make
you,
sense?
Susan.
Okay,
yeah.
You're welcome. All right, so the other thing, I encourage your listeners to get Janice Abrams Spring's book, her new book, After the Affair. Also, get a referral to a local couples therapist if you've experienced digital infidelity with your partner. Get a couples therapist, and again, a couples therapist, somebody who specializes in this work. And or if you're in my area and you would like to work with me, you can call me at 603-431-7131 for help. I deal with this issue frequently, and I can help you through this crisis toward healing. So feel free to give me a call at my Portsmouth office, and I'd be happy to talk to you about the possibility of working together. In any event, I would like to thank my listeners and callers, and I hope you enjoyed the show, and I hope maybe you learned something during this show. And my next episode will be Wednesday, April 13th at 8:30 p.m., and the topic and the guest will be announced, okay? So take care and be mindful about digital infidelity and whether you're doing it or your spouse is doing it. Good night.